Good afternoon. Oop.
Praise him.
Good afternoon. First of all, let me mention about Alonzo. Hey, Nanny. Alonzo is my brother-in-law that you hear his name, Ryan, reads off. They're in Hartford, Connecticut. So just remember my sister, Denise. Alonzo is in the hospital. He has lung cancer. It's not moving his body. He's on all kind of machinery and stuff, and she won't let go. So just keep her on your heart and in your mind, please. First, it's praise report. Amanda, you know, the mother of my grandson, Kaysen, who turned 4 last week, she took her test to get into the RN nursing program, and she passed the test. She fretted about it all this time, and I prayed for her. Last week, they had 6 degrees up there in Westland, Michigan, power outage for the weekend, and the test was supposed to be last weekend. See how God works? Now, she took the test yesterday, okay? He gave her an extra week to calm that mind down so she could take that test. All right, praise number 2. For you all that don't remember or are aware, I wrote a book. It was a spinoff from the testimony I gave. I think Ryan typed it up 2 years ago. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, look, do you not want me to tell the world that you're real? The title of the book is God is Real, True Life's Short Stories. It's taken a year for me to get what they call the copyright for my book. That came in the mail on Wednesday. Now, I cried out because it's been a long journey. It's been a frustrating journey for someone who don't know nothing about the computer. But he said, wait, my child, just wait. Just hold on. I'm like, but the world needs to know. And lo and behold, copyright, let me explain what that is. It puts the extra layer of legal protection on your writing. When you pen your words, they're protected. However, you want that extra layer on the book. So that came in the mail on this past Wednesday. And let me tell you something else, how God shows up and shows out, because he's a dude. It takes about three months for that process. I put that request in on December 15th. It just came in the mail this week, y'all. That's a 1 month. Hello, somebody.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Lord, even in those little things of life like that. It's important to Sister Regina, amen. So God, it was important to God. Amen. So I'm glad to hear that, Sister Regina. I'm very happy for you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and just take up our offering, and then we're going to have Brother Bob and his family sing. So I'm going to ask Brother Boyd if you could come help us take up our offering.
Praise the Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, where there's always warmth from the love of God. We're just thankful that we have one another to rest upon and count on, Lord. And we ask that you stand with us as we stand together, loving and praising you in Jesus Christ's name. Accept this offering. Amen.
Amen. Is there Gary to come up? Let's just sing the chorus, I Feel the Pull Again. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and take control. I feel the pull.
The Lord laid on Sister Johnny's heart to just request that we sing this song.
to encourage Brother Dale and Sister Dale. And so pray just this song will encourage you. God bless you.
Too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, God cannot move it. There is no storm.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Wonderful sounding family. Amen. Sound really good. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to know, amen, that there's nothing too big, too small for God. And that He cares about everything, no matter how small the situation is, no matter how big the situation is. It's all the same to Him. It matters to Him. And if we just take it to Him in confidence, He'll be able to take care of it, I'm sure. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have Brother Wade come out with this song, The Highway to Heaven. Amen. How many are ready for the word? Amen. Let's just bring up the words of the song. Let's start with the chorus. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Oh, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I am going, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, it's brighter, it's brighter, walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, His love to guide me, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's the highway to heaven, none can walk up there. It's the highway, heaven, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up King's highway.
Walking up the King's highway. And what's that? Got to do it down here first before we can walk up there. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Brother Ryan, while you're doing one of your deacon duties, I don't know if Terry told you or not, was to give out all this. So give them. Appreciate Brother Ryan. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Just take that and keep it with you. We'll try to fill it in a little bit. Not tonight, not today, but just keep it with you and put it in your Bible. But there's some things that we're going to look at when we get into the church ages. And as we were talking this morning, remember one thing. The saints will judge the earth. Judgment, we know, was paid for at Calvary. He took the judgment of us all at Calvary, right? But they wasn't one person saved at Calvary at that moment. Nope. They ran from Him. He died alone, the Bible says. He died by Himself. The thief at the cross was the only one close enough to Him to receive eternal life. And He wasn't bride. Right? But He was waiting on a bride to come. And he gave every bit of that. St. John 17, that's why I said that's to me, that's the Lord's prayer to his bride. Lord, that they may be one as we are one. All right? And then now today when we're going to talk about this just a little bit, Brother Luis and I will speak just for a second. And you got to realize we're going to see this and we think, man, eyes of fire and feet of brass. And, man, he's just an angry judge. No, he's not. Judgment will be through me and you. The Gentile age will not be judged by Jesus Christ alone. The Bible said the books were open, thrones, and the saints would judge the earth. Wow. Pretty wild, but that's what he said. He'll put a group of people, as we were talking this morning, he'll put a group of people on the earth, and the world, the whole world, will be judged by that group of people. Wow. Whoa, Mom! We got Mama here today! Turn that camera back there. Get it all. Go. Turn that camera back there. My mother's here. Boy, bless her heart. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. I tell you, there you go. Everybody there. She's a little bit short, so maybe kind of y'all bend down a little bit. There you go. There's one right behind you. Turn and look at Terrence's head. But good to have her with us today. God bless her. Yeah. Man, it's good to get out. But just remember, keep all in your mind. What you're holding in your hand is the bride of Jesus Christ in the church ages, seven angels sent, seven messages, and we were talking about this morning, we'll talk about it again a little more, the refraction of light. He is the light as we are in the light. Right? All the scriptures about light. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We're going to read here in just a little while if we get down to it, Revelations. That city is going to be lit by me and you. Me and you. Amen. You are the light of the world. Amen. So we're going to look at the sevenfold identification of Jesus Christ in bride form. All right. So let's remember all these announcements. Remember the Roberts family. Remember the Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night. This coming Saturday, the 27th at 12 o'clock. Just bring you something to eat. We'll sit in fellowship with the Negrons for a few hours and, we'll have some cake for me and Sister Tabitha, and you can join in with us and enjoy yourself downstairs. We'll have room to fellowship a little bit instead of going to a restaurant or going to somebody's house. All right, and the 28th, he'll be here. Brother Isaac will be here to speak both services. Also, February 17th, Valentine's Banquet. Bring a couple with you that doesn't go to church here. They need to be a couple, married couple, and it's $30 per couple. All right? And remember, too, downstairs, there'll be a sign-up sheet. You need to let us know by February the 4th. Sister Lisa and Sister Rachel, by February the 4th. So we'll make the list, and then if on February the 4th, we'll take it up, and that's who we'll have for a banquet. But let us know if you're going to bring somebody. You don't have to tell me who it is, but just make sure we get the $30. That would just, all that does is covers the caterer, because the caterer is going to be $15 to $18 a piece, and that'll cover them. But if you're a tithe-paying member of this church and you're a couple, you get to come for free, all right? Also remember, what is it, one more other thing? Oh, Brother Ben's going back on Tuesday. Let's remember him in prayer. Come back and see us again. Amen. We sure appreciate you being here. Tell Brother Craig we said hello again. From the big state of Connecticut. And Michael said that was just a place to drive through. To get to Rhode Island, which is smaller than that. So anyway, but good to have you with us, buddy. You make yourself at home, all right? And we appreciate you. We love you. We know why you're here. Come to see me preach. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you. All the way from Connecticut. Good drive. But just remember that you're a young man, and he's going to school, and we just pray that the Lord will keep his hand on him. Amen. All of our youth need to be protected by the hand of the Lord. Amen. All of them, everywhere they go and what they do, the devil just got a little in. He can try to get in there as best he can. But we have a stronger God. We have a stronger God, more powerful, more better than anything else that Satan's got to give you, okay? All right? It may look tantalizing over here, but the longevity, God's waited 6,000 years to get this day right here. Patiently waited to get this bride here, because this is the last one, last church age, last of the Gentiles. Then we know he goes to the Jews, but for us, it'll be over here in just a little while. So remember these announcements, and we're going to start on the sevenfold identification. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for being with us. Thank you for giving us a wonderful service, Lord. I pray that you'd bless now in the furtherment of this service. You speak to the people. Lord, give them something that, Lord, they're pulling on the gift, Lord. So you just walk down their aisle, Lord, and give them what they need today, Father. Lord, be with the ones that are not here, that are sick, Lord. Be with the ones that are sin sick, Father. I pray, Lord, that as the time is getting shorter, that the pull will become greater, and we'll be able to pray them for them, Lord, and get them, Lord, back in church, Father, and let them serve you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Father, forgive us of our mistakes and faults. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you for this salvation that we have, Lord. It's just so precious, and we don't want to be dilatory. We want to Lord, be fervent in our preaching and in our prayer, Lord, that you would bless each one, Lord, that's here today, Father, and inside this building, Lord. I pray that you would sanctify us, Lord. Wash us by your water. Bless us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Son of Man, sevenfold identification. Now remember, the Son of Man is what? It was Jesus Christ, but he's gone. He's come back in bride form. He is not in the Baptist denomination. Everybody understand me, all right? He can be in the people and work through the people, but as far as that denomination, he's not there. He's in bride form in the message of the hour. All right? Now, I didn't exclude people. He did. He said, I hate that Nicolaitan spirit. Now, you say God hates? Yeah, he does. God has emotion. Hello. That's where, if we were made in his image, then we have that same emotion. We just have a human side of it that we got to get rid of all that other stuff. That's why this right here had to be. Amen. We get rid of our own self. Amen. Our own self stuff. Amen. And then what? Be what? Be diligent toward him and what he wants. So Revelation 1 verse 10 says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it into the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna. Now, we'll get into this, but you know, these each one were cities. They were real cities, were real people living in them, but their character just, I say, happened to fit that age. It didn't just happen to do that. No, they fit it perfectly. God put them right where they needed to be so he could talk about them. God put you right where you need to be today so he can talk about you. All right? And it's a Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white as wool. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. As white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as it burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, that word midst, M-I-D-S-T, means among, or from among, or in the middle. All right? And not just in the middle. As we saw this, we'll see it here in just a minute. He has outstretched hands, and his hand stretches from Alpha to Omega. All right? And everything in between, the reason he brings so much with Alpha, which, you know what Alpha and Omega is, right? That's Greek letters. All right? Alpha and Omega. Alpha's first. You know, you always say alpha male, alpha wolf, and alpha. That's why, because it's first. It's the most powerful. Then omega over here, which is the end of everything, all right? And he says, I am alpha and omega. He doesn't omit that in between, but he says, whatever I got here, this is the way I started my church. It's going to be eroded down through the church ages, but at the end, I will restore, saith the Lord. He's going to restore us back to the faith of the fathers. As Brother Branham said, the messenger of Malachi 4 to do two things. One, take us back to that, but then tell us why. Right. Tell us how to get back to it. and then how to take a body change. Amen. All right? Because remember, I don't know if you caught that this morning or not, but you got seven virtues. Well, they've got to go through one prism, right, which is number eight. God's always eternal. He's always standing in a number. There's always seven, and then you say, well, there he is. He's the prism. We have to go through him. He's the door. All right? Everybody with me? All right? And there's the picture that we were looking at. He's standing in the midst with eyes like flames of fire. His hair was like wool. And we'll try to explain some of these and let Brother Branham do it. Seven stars. Listen, I really enjoy when he talks about all this. When you see John's going to stand there and John's going to listen to what Jesus said. Now, he saw Jesus in real life. Now he sees him glorified. All right, he's a young man, but now he's got a girdle up here. He's girt about the paps or across the shoulder with a golden girdle. Now, he wasn't that way because remember, I'll get to it in just a minute. You got to remember priests and kings. What did a priest do? Priest had to be dressed right. Priest had to administer what? To the people, or he had to go in the Holy of Holies and all that. We'll explain that in just a minute. But he just saw Jesus as Jesus. Really didn't understand who he was until he came back on the day of Pentecost and went inside of John. Everybody with me? All right? So that's what he's seeing now, a glorified Jesus, but he is being shown right off the bat with a golden girdle up here. Feminish. So bride form. No other form but bride form. All right, everybody with me? But remember, the Son of Man revelation got lost in the church ages. The Son of Man revelation was that he was God. You baptized in his name. Hell's not eternal. Amen? That got lost down through here. So the Omega bride, to bring Christ back here in his fullness of the Godhead bodily, to bring it back here, it's got to go back to there to get that revelation, but then bring it back up here. Okay. All right, everybody with me? That's where we're standing today, with the full revelation, just like Paul, Peter. Remember, somebody told Brother Adam one time, said, oh, Brother Adam said, what you have, we could write another book. He said, oh, it sounded good. He said, but that'd be adding too. So it's contained in those seven colors, are those 66 books, everything we need. Amen. There's nothing new coming. There's not a new Bible. The only thing new is coming is your body. Right. That's what's coming. But it's already written in the Bible. Right. And some people have already come to it. Abraham got a new body. But remember, he died. You won't. He won't either. That's why he says, I'm the first and the last. I've got all the keys. I'll read it. It's a little bit later in the chapter. He says, I've conquered death and hell. I got the keys to the house. I've done all this for you. Now go, John, write this to my people and give it out over the church ages. And I'm going to form myself in a bride, which is me and you. And all the ones that were down through the church ages, all those too. But remember, they formed a color of the rainbow. They formed a color, but that color didn't bend toward a body down here that was being changed. They're waiting on us to come to that place and to refract the light. Then we got to go back to the Son of Man, which is the white light. All right? We go back to the white light, bring the white light here, and then everything is molded up in that white light, which is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a bride. Not a pieceness, a fullness. Because that's what's standing right here. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily is standing before you in picture form, but that's him and his characteristics, and he's standing in the middle of the church, or a bride. All right, everybody with me? Flame of fire, hair like wool, he wasn't old, sharp two-edged sword. We'll get to those in just a few minutes, all right? And then feet like brass. So just to recap this morning, what does a prism do? As light passes through a prism, it is bent or refracted Because, listen, we can't, at the first church age, be it the first church age that it is, it was close, but it was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was part of the light. Second age was what? A color, part of the light. But that white light is the whole light. I am the light of the world. He said, I'm the one that come to light this world up. But oh my, did he caused people to go into darkness. He caused them to go into darkness because he was here. He didn't make them. But remember, when you bring a messenger, we read it this morning, a messenger comes on earth, immediately there's a war. Immediately there's a separation. Listen, when there's a war going on, you got to choose a side. You can't be neutral. Some people tried to be neutral. I believe it was maybe Missouri and Kentucky and different ones. They wanted to stay neutral between the North and the South. No, you get drug in one way or the other. All right? I don't want to stay neutral. I want to be on the winning side. And I don't want to be one of them fair weather fans that waits till this one looks like it's about ready to win and then I jump in. God may fool you. You may jump in and your horse die. You know? So what does the prism do to light? As light passes through the prism, it's bent or refracted by the angles and plane faces of the prism, and each wavelength, look, each wavelength of light, light comes in a wave, all right? It's refracted by a slightly different amount. Ever so slightly that it one blends into the other. When you see a rainbow, you see the color starting from violet or indigo, and it just blends all the way through the other colors. You don't see indigo, and then you see a gap, and then you see yellow, and then you see a gap. And no, they're all together. But they run down, and you can see them. If you see a really pretty rainbow, you can see all the pictures of it all. But they don't, they're separate. Each age is separate, but we have one light. But the word, let's just say it that way, the word is refracted by a slightly different amount. Like I said before, Luther's refraction of light or bending of light was the just shall live by faith. It was a color, right? It was in God's rainbow. But now when Luther went to sleep and took the bride with him to sleep, they went to sleep, Wesley comes on the scene, he bends it just a little bit more. You can't just live by faith. You can't go drink beer and smoke a pipe in this age. God said, I'm going to wink at that, but I require holiness because I required it back in the first church age. All right? You understand where we're going then. All right? You got an age. That age got sealed away. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, bride of Jesus Christ, will judge their time period. But now, if you come to... Even that come to our time, Luther is not even going to get you in bride form in our age. Why? The light's being bent just a little bit more. Where we can see another color of that white light. That's why Brother Brown said, you know, you red through red's white. He tells all these different colors. We'll not get into that. I don't want to muddle the water up. We can if we do it later on, but not now. But this is an example of it. I didn't show you this morning. When light passes from one substance to another, it changes direction. Now listen, it doesn't do away with it. You don't do away with God, and you don't change Him. Who changes? We do. We change to reflect His light, which is bent in a little different way. Because like I said, but now, see, praise God. If Luther would sit here, come here today, come into this church, not that I'm preaching, any brother that preaches, Brother Bob this morning, anybody, and sit right there, the Holy Ghost inside of him would refract the light that he saw first. He'd run it through his filter, through his prism, and say, man, I ain't never thought of that. I got to change my thought process. I can't go down and drink a beer in a pub and smoke a pipe. He would believe this message of the hour. Because it's the same Holy Ghost. But see, God saw fit that Luther would make it in this age. The man would fit the characteristics, and that William Branham would fit his right here. How many people would you know that had that much power as you were watching or listening here, where Brother Branham had control of the whole building? Now, some people that I know, if you give them that much power, they'd use it wrong. Maybe us included. But Brother Branham knew he was the most humble man. He had the power. He had the power to cast them to and make them to the people that were having making love in the thing. He said, "What Holy Spirit said, you just say whatever it is." He said, "Oh, I forgive them." Now, inside of us, it'd be like they're interrupting the service. They're doing this. They're doing that. Oh, get rid of them, Lord. No, he didn't get rid of me and you, did he? Okay. So when light passes from one substance to another, it changes direction. This effect is familiar to all of us from observations in bathtubs and swimming pools, and it's called refraction. Actually, too, and if you look at it this way, the refraction of a certain light, now, a certain light causes a mirage. I didn't bring that, but I was looking it up last night. So what's a mirage? It's fake. But it's the bending of light. You look out in the summertime, you drive down the road, and if the light hits the pavement just right, what does it do? It just glows, right? It don't even look like pavement. Don't look black. It shines, right, man? Well, that's what the refraction of that light is, which Satan is also. I didn't want to bring him in this. He's a messenger of light. Hello? Isn't that what he said? The Bible calls him that, yeah? So he's got his own refraction of light, his own mirage that he brought into the church age and defiled it, made it lukewarm, said, "Oh, that's beautiful. Looks like palm trees. That Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, man, that's got to be it because Jesus said it." Right? That's got to be right. How many people told you that when you start talking to them about water baptism? They say, "Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said. You tell you what Peter said." I said, "Well, then the whole Bible's confusing then, because he said someone here, over here, and then Peter, he gave Peter the keys of the kingdom." I said, "Jesus didn't even have the keys at the time. Peter had the keys. He unlocked the door, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ." All right? Everybody with me on that? So this effect is familiar, and it's also, like I said before, you put a straw in here, and it looks like it's broke. It's a refraction of light. So Satan can be a messenger of light, but it's his own light. But it's so close that we've got to see. We got to see with eyes. That's why the Bible tells us in our church age, it's got to be the eye salve. The coon grease, as Brother Brandon was talking about. That you put on the eyes and get the matter out of your eyes. You know why? Because you don't matter. Somebody get that. Upon passage through the prism, the white light is separated into church ages. Remember? Even across the curtain of time, Brother Branham couldn't find Paul. Couldn't find Irenaeus. Couldn't find Martin. He found his own group of people. Because they reflected the light of that messenger for that day. So that white light is separated into red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And then you, like we were talking about, you put it through that prism. But look what the prism is. Listen, even a diamond or something flat will not refract light. It has to be in an angle. That's why we'll read a quote here in just a little while. Brother Ram talking about the future home. He said, that's why that mountain in that city had to be at an angle. Because of light refraction. We'll explain it in a minute. Then we talked about the all-seeing eye. Y'all know about that, so we'll just go on through this. Each age had its message and its messenger. All through time, every age has packed its message with a messenger. God, in every dispensation, has sent forth someone anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring forth his message for that age every time. God's gift always finds the places, 1963. God gave his word so much here, so much here, so much here for each age. Then he sent a prophet down anointed to make that word come to pass. And look, it supports the other ones. It didn't tear them down. Right. Yeah. Brother Brown didn't go across the curtain of time and say, now, Paul preached something different than me, bless God. I'm church age messenger for number seven, and he was number one. He didn't know nothing. No, he said, where's Paul? He said, in other words, he's another dimension. He said, well, did Paul preach and me preach the same thing? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, I made it then. If Paul made it, I made it. All right? So he didn't tear each other down. There, the only thing you tear down is you false doctrine. True doctrine can, it's like Brother Bob said, you take a true doctrine, a true teacher, a true whatever you want to call it, if they confuse the people more when they walk out the door than when they come in, that's not a gift. It might be a gift, but it's from the wrong person. This is supposed to simplify everything. But listen, let me add a little caveat in there that Brother Bob didn't. If you ain't got something inside of you to receive it, it will be confusing. I don't care if you give them the ABCs. You got to have the Holy Ghost inside of you to react to what's going to be said. All right? Then you open your heart up. If you got the Holy Ghost, it's not a problem to open your heart up. Because who's there? God. All right? So then he sent a prophet down, anointed to make that word come to pass. Now look, anointed to make that word come to pass. And it supports the other one that was coming. See, like the Messiah always supported. Every prophet in his own life, his own being, the word that was given for that day, he come and fulfilled that written word and foretold of what the other one was going to be. In other words, he's talking about the Old Testament now, where Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all different ones, they were supporting that there was a Christ coming, there was an anointed one coming, that Jesus was coming. They didn't call him by name, but they knew one was coming. Moses said, they'll raise up one like unto me. Okay. And every one of them spoke of him. Talk about Christ. Because he was the fullness. He was the head of the prophets. He was the word of God. He was the prophets. Amen. There he is. Notice how wonderful what he was. Each one of those prophets. Now the seven ages are set forth in Revelation chapter 2. Like I said before, chapter 1 is what we're going to deal with today. It tells you who he is and where he's at. So it establishes, and then it goes right in. It says to the messenger of the church of Ephesus. All the way to Revelation chapter 3, the very end, where we're at. And then to Revelation chapter 4, you go up through the open door. All right? The bride does. John typed the bride. John was caught up in Revelation 4:1. All right? So that's us. So the seven ages are set forth in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Takes in the whole span of the fullness of the Gentiles. Now see, we're not talking about Jews. We're not talking about anything else but bride. What you got in your hand, that candlestick that's got all those circles in it, if you don't know what, well, I didn't pull it up. If you get your little thing out and you see the black part is the blackness in the age. The white part of that circle is the bride of that age. Now, remember in the last church age, when Brother Branham drew the ages, the angel that drew them on the wall drew them black. In the seventh age, no light at all. He said, I added a little light. Why? Because there's just a little light that's shining here, and that's us. But, as I was saying before, we were talking about this more downstairs, this is the darkest age it ever was. But it's got the most light. Bible says, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's why the United States of America is just great as we are. We're going to fall at the feet of somebody because of the rejection of the message that came right at your doorstep. In English, all the technology, all the electronics, everything we have that the people over in other countries barely get a few books. They get more now than they used to, but 20 years ago, I mean, if you couldn't find a paperback book, you were in trouble. But now you can get them on, you know, a little cassette form and have all the message on it. Praise God for that, that you don't have to lug a tape recorder back into the jungle and run off of batteries. All right, the whole time in which God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation, talks about that church age you're looking at. It says the very same thing in opening and closing the message of each age unto the messenger of, now remember, the messenger gets it first. But he that hath an ear, let him hear not what Luther said, us, but what Luther said in his age. his people, than Wesley. I told somebody, I told about Methodist the other day. Well, I did, yeah. I told him, I said, look, I said, if what's going on in your church, the United, well, it ain't United Methodist unless you have gays and all that in it. I said, John Wesley didn't preach that. John Wesley was a firebrand snatched out of the fire. You know, he was supposed to die. He was in a second story built house. He was on the second floor. That's why they call him. His daddy called him that, that he was a firebrand snatched out of the fire, because somebody happened to look up and saw him against the window, beating on the window, and the house was completely consumed. And he finally got something and hit the wall, hit the, you know, the glass, and jumped down in somebody's arms, basically. He was, and then the thing collapsed. Of course, this is in the 1800s. They wasn't a fire department there. You know, it was that bucket brigade. a little bit of. Well, he would have died. And his daddy told him. He said, "You're a firebrand snatched out of the fire." He was the last one of all the kids to get out. They looked. They found everybody else but him, and they couldn't find him. And he was upstairs somewhere. But you read the story. I read the story about him here just a little bit ago. But he was a firebrand, though, because then he took that fire and preached 14,000 sermons in his life. He preached 5 sermons a day to 5 different groups of people. I'll be 64 Friday. I don't expect that to happen unless the Lord just really gives me a surge. One a day, 2 a day, 5 a day. Could you imagine preaching 5 sermons a day? They kicked him out of a place one time. Let me tell you a little story about how God gets the message out. John Wesley was preaching in a place, and they kicked him out. All right? He couldn't find a place that they weren't kicking him out except on top of his daddy's grave. It was a mausoleum not a mausoleum like this, but it came up in a slab like this. They buried him on top of the ground. So he goes to the cemetery, jumps up on his daddy's grave. He dares anybody to get on that with him, because that's his daddy's, and that's his property. And he stood there and preached to, you know, several hundred people. They couldn't kick him out. You see how God gets his message? He just thought, he said, man, my daddy's buried right out here. Because they hated his daddy, too. If you'll remember that, if you'll read about him, they hated John Wesley's daddy. Kicked him out of every church, but he was preaching the word of God. He was trying his best to do the best he could at the time, but he was setting a stage for his son. He literally was setting a stage for his son. Do you get what I'm just saying? By his death, he set a stage for his son to stand on to preach. Julie got it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. But that's how the message got out. He never stopped. They'd kick him out of one place, he'd go preach in another. He'd go find another place he could stand. And then they'd run him out of there, and they'd go preach in another place where he could stand. Like Paul did the same thing. They were going to kill Paul several times. Whipped him till almost he was dead. Did that stop him? Nope. You're not going to stop the word of God. It is absolutely going to get out whether we like it or not. Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age addresses himself to only one person relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age, and that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. The message is then broadcast to all. But though it is broadcast for all who come within range of the message, that message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by the way of the messenger. The two sisters sat in church. He said he called me a vulture, and one said he called me an eagle. Same sermon, all right? Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelations, Brother Rob was talking about. You got to hear it from a fivefold ministry, and you got to go to church. It's got to just, I'm sorry, that's the way God put it. Amen. You can't get it at home by yourself. Yeah, you can get revelation, but you're not going to get growth without doing what God said. Right. Sorry, you just not. We're not. Did you learn all your schooling and sitting at your house? Right. That's what I thought. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation. Oh, we've got this over here, and y'all don't have it over here. But each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. All right, takes a messenger first, then delivers it to you and I. We were talking about that this morning. So here's the plan of it. Brother Brown tells us right here. Here's the plan of it in the first seal. All right? The first thing happens, there's an announcement in heaven first. What happened? A seal is opened. What is it? A mystery is unfolded. See? And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war. Or a plague falls, and a church age is opened. And we'll look at that chart. We'll draw some few things on it maybe later on. And see how they all blend together. All right? But they're separate. But there is an overlap in between that that you'll see. What is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God. And then he goes forth to the people. After the mystery has been given to him, goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? Starts a war. A spiritual war. We were talking about that this morning. Believe you me, it's going to get worse. Believe you me, it's going to get worse. You look now and see the people's leaving the message. Families are dividing. Churches are closing their doors. You can't even get in a tabernacle anymore, can you, Brother Louis? You can't get in a tabernacle. It's locked. They say closed for renovation. Yeah, okie dokie then. You can take that two or three different ways. And then God takes it, just saying. I heard they were going to make a museum out of it. Boy, Brother Brown would have enjoyed that. And then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. Then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it. Why? They close it off. And they rejected not you. Who was he talking? He said, not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. God said they're rejecting me. Yeah, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me because I'm speaking through you and therefore they're rejecting me. Then as a temporary judgment. And then after that is over, then he goes on. They denominate and bring in denominations and start off with that man's work like of Wesley. All the rest of you. Think about John Wesley, how much he preached and all that effort he put into that church. And see it now, so fragmented, allowing gays and women and all doing in the church to preach. Wesley would have burnt, well, no, he wouldn't have burnt it physically, but he would have burnt their hide. He preached holiness. But you see, but now, wait a minute. Wesley was a church age messenger. He started a move of Wesleyan, or the Wesley move, right? And it was ordained of God. What happened? Other men got involved in it and what? Eroded it or broke it down to where the original didn't. Listen, this Methodist church don't look like the original one. And listen, the only thing it looks like the first church age is sitting here today. Amen. You ought to be happy. Amen. That God's given us that. Amen. He's given us that ability. We think, oh, great Paul, great John, great Peter, great. You're great. You got the same God in you they did. You've got the same Alpha, now is Omega. You got the same thing they got. Plus. A body change. That's why the seals had to be open. They weren't open in the first age, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. They were open in the seventh age. We'll get to that when we get to the seventh age. And it gets all scrappled again. And then another mystery comes forth. What happens? Another messenger arrives on earth for a church age. Then when he arrives, the trumpet sounds. He declares a war. Then what happens? Finally, when he's caught away, then when he's laid away, a plague falls. Destroys them. Spiritual death hits the church, and that's exactly what's happened to the Wesley movement. And that's exactly what's happened to the message movement. Spiritual death hits the church. Because they don't even go anymore. And she's gone, that group. Then he goes on to another one. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of God and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, God's saying this. So I feel safe saying exactly what Jesus said. Have y'all noticed when you look in your Bible, you know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's red letter because that's what Jesus spoke, right? They consider that what he spoke. Go to your Bibles and look right now if you need to in Revelations, verse chapter 1. It's in red letter. This is not red letter because I put it in red letter. It's in red letter because it's in your Bible. Even the scholars picked up that Jesus was speaking to John. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can't get it wrong. Amen. When Jesus is speaking. Amen. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he pronounces them. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Here's two translations. I was in Daddy's study, and he's got a Bible. It's got 26 translations, so I was reading it. The emphatic diglot, which is the original, the way it was written, is you're gird at the breast, all right, which are about, or at the breast. Or Moffat says a belt of gold around his breast. Gold signifies what? Deity. I've read all that quote time and time again. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, deity resides inside of you. It proves it right here. When John saw this vision or whatever he was looking at, he saw Jesus, Son of Man, standing with gold about his paps. Seven church ages. This is in 1954. You know, Brother Brown preached them in 1954, but he preached them like all in one sermon. But then he comes back and preaches them later on. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. What? One like him. Who was this? His bride. One like him. Watch how it was. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. The holiness of Jesus Christ covering her has washed us from our sins with his own blood. All right. Then he says, gird about the paps, not a man, a woman. With a golden girdle, the gospel that held the power and glory of God over the body of Christ. 1954, the mark of the beast. Is we found the church standing there in its beauty. Christ just molded into it. And the church had a white garment on. And you notice, it was a woman. Around the breast, it had the garment covering over her shame. And was had a golden cord, though, pulled around so that it held around the breast. White, speaking of the righteousness of Christ. And the golden cord represented the gospel. Right. Right? The preaching of the gospel brings the Holy Spirit over the church. Listen, you're not corrected by a preacher. Right. You're corrected by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Right? Right? The righteousness of Christ holds it there, tied with a string, the girdle string. Patmos Vision, 1960. Now let's watch him just further as we take the rest of this verse. And in the midst, that's in the middle of the golden candlesticks. One likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Now here's more proof of that. This doctrine is right about it being the Lord's day. Now he went back and we know this. We don't have to go over it again. It wasn't a 24-hour day. John was there for 2 years. The day of the Lord is the day you're in. Not a 24-hour day. Give us this day our daily bread. He just give it one time. Don't give it anymore. No, that's the day of the Lord. Some of y'all eat too much bread between services. I told y'all them carbs will get to you. Brother Kearns back there, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, because he didn't eat today. It might be some. Let us have a fast. Between service. No, I tell you, it is hard. I mean, you eat pasta or you eat some kind of rice or something, and it gets you pretty. Let's make a word, carbonized. By carbohydrates, you get carbonized. No, it's you get sleepy. But look, watch this now. This is where we and Brother Luis were talking about. This is where he'd never seen this like this before, and there's a lot of times we have pieces that we don't see. Preachers do that. He was not a priest during this time. He transferred that to me and you. Neither was he a king He was a judge. Because in righteousness, the Bible said he will judge. Well, now, what is the glory of God? It's the righteousness of his saints. It all connects back to me and you. That's why Brother Branham, everybody's like, no, this is the church. Everybody's part of the church. We all look alike. We all, if y'all look a little different, that's okay. But Brother Branham stood one day and said, no, this is the bride. This is the way she acts. This is the way the bride acts. This is the way the church acts. Now, a priest, a high priest, when he went into the sanctuary and went in to minister to service, he tied himself around the waist. All right, everybody with me? Shake yourself just a little bit. Tying his girdle around the waist meant that he was serving. All right? Never tied it over his shoulder. But here he comes out, walking out with a girdle tied around the top, with a sash over his shoulder, girded about the paps, the breast with a golden girdle, girded up high. What is it? An attorney. A judge. Now hang with me for a minute. He's still the Prince of Peace. He's still the King of Kings. He's still all that. But when it comes to here, when John turns and looks and sees that, he is glorified. So he's standing in the midst of the church and he's got his arms out. And basically what this whole part of me says is these are my people, and I'm going to judge the world by these people right here. By the symbols I'm fixing to give to you and just now, it's all about judgment. Because if you want, remember, if you turn down the messenger, it's immediate judgment. I'll read it to you in a minute. He's an attorney, a judge. The judge with his sash over his shoulder, girded up here, not down as a priest, see? That shows he wasn't in his priesthood now. John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as a judge. All right, everybody with me right here. 1963, we'll go back to what Brother Ram says. God takes his messenger with the elect of that age, lays them away asleep. Let's don't do it right now. Okay. Lays them away asleep. And then he drops a plague upon them that rejects it. A temporary judgment. All right? So now, whoever rejected Paul. Listen, whoever rejected Paul got a temporary judgment. Well, you know what? That temporary judgment, though, is just temporary because it's a white throne judgment. That same judge is going to stand here, but it ain't going to be Christ. It's going to be Paul. It's going to be his people. The Lord Jesus is going to stand there and say, hey, I judge you by them people right here. Did you turn Paul down? Were you one of those people that picked a rock up to stone him? Well, yeah, I didn't like what he said. Well, who judged him? You were judged right there. That's why the Bible tells us, and I'll read it here in a few minutes when I get to it. You're not even supposed to take a brother or a sister to court. I mean a brother and sister, somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. You do your problems inside. Now listen, if you're wronged out there and they're a bunch of scoundrels, if you sue them, take them to court, whatever, but not a brother and a brother or a sister and a sister. The Bible's real plain about that. And it says, how can you judge here and you're going to stand and judge the world? If you don't be able to judge here, you're not going to be able to judge there. Then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. Then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it, a temporary judgment. All right, let's look at number one. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Now, in the Patmos vision, Brother Ram says, look, John first notices and mentions the whiteness of his hair. That's the first thing he mentions. It was white and as bright as snow. That was not because of his age. Oh, no. The brilliantly white hair does not signify age, but look, experience, maturity, and wisdom. See that? The eternal one does not age. What is time to God? Time means little to God, but wisdom means much. That's why we've been on the statue of perfect man. You don't know how to judge unless you got something to judge by. Would you like to have an attorney that was that went to grammar school and decided to take your case? That's what I thought. Bob, that'd look good, wouldn't it? I graduated 12 grades. I can take this $25 billion contract. Yeah, I think I can win it. You get tore to pieces is what you'll do. But, man, that one with experience, hey, listen, lawyers are shrewd. They know how to articulate. They can take one word and change a whole courtroom setting. One word. An A or an and or a the or a but. They can say, oh, well. Even the world understands this symbology, for in ancient time the judge would appear and convene court dressed in a white wig and a long robe that signified his complete authority. Now look, his complete authority, head to foot robe, to mete out justice. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, dare any of you here, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertain to this life? All right? So his hair is white as wool. If you watch over in London, they do that in England. And when they have court, doesn't matter what color the guy's hair is, he puts on a white wig. You've seen movies. Netflix has got them all over the place. Ask Louise. He'll tell you. He's the only one that's got a Netflix account in this building, right? That's what I thought. Don't raise your hand. But if you watch an old movie, what? That's a judge. And he's the supreme guy. He walks in, he sits down, he's got the wig on. It doesn't matter if he's 20 years old or you know, 80. He's come to a place of authority. So the bride has got to come to a place of authority so that she can present herself as a judge. And that's powerful. But see, that's the first thing John saw. He started at the head and headed down. All right? Now look. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Brother Bram said, those fiery flame of eyes of the judge are even now recording the lives of all flesh. Running to and fro throughout the earth, there is nothing he does not know. He knows the desires of the heart and what each one intends to do. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed, for all things are naked before him with whom we have to do. Think of it. He knows even now what you're thinking. Some are not, because you don't think when you sleep. Zechariah 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Remember, what is Zerubbabel doing? He's building this great monument, or this great stature. With these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, seven, running to and fro through the earth. What are the eyes? The eyes are what? They're the gateway to the soul. There are some things I wish I'd never seen in my life because I can't get them out of my head. Well, pray for me. There's things I got stuck in this head that I wish I could turn my eyeballs off. But you can't. But you can deal with it. The Lord gives you power over that, okay? But look at John. He sees wisdom. He sees that there's eyes not like eyes he's ever seen before. And they're watching over the church ages, all right, in judgment, but not to judge, because remember, that whole part of the Son of Man, that's the bride form. So the bride is standing there with all that on. That's what you got to get. The bride is standing there with all that. The white robe, the wig, the eyes, that's you. That's the characteristics of all church ages put together. God had eyes in every church age. God had wisdom in every church age. And he'll judge with that wisdom out of every church age. And his feet was likened to fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. Now look, brass is noted for its remarkable hardness. Now we know brass means judgment anyway, all right? There is nothing that is known that you can put with it to temper it. But this brass that describes his feet is more remarkable yet, in that it has stood the test of the fiery furnace. He's not talking about Jesus at the moment. He's talking about your trials and your tribulations, things you overcome. Remember, we're going to get into the church age. He that overcometh, What? What do you overcome with? Those feet of brass. A test that no other one has gone through. And that is exactly right. For brass signifies divine judgment. A judgment that God decreed and brought to pass. The serpent on the pole is the type of what Jesus coming to the earth to accomplish. Now, how does God heal? How did he heal down through the seven church ages? Did he just walk? Did he just come in by the Holy Spirit and say, I heal you? No. Brother Donnie, pray for me. I'm sick. There's your snake on the pole. What did he say in Moses? If you'll look at it, remember they had all kinds of diseases. If you'll look at that pole, that brass serpent, you'll be healed. What did Peter say and John say at the Gate Beautiful? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. No, they didn't say that. He said, look on us. Look on us. The brazen serpent is right here. Look on us. Anybody, you pray for somebody. You have become that solid brass. That part of the serpent on a pole. The foundation of the altar of sacrifice was solid brass, typifying the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Judgment had already passed upon him when as yet there were no sinners, salvation being entirely of the Lord. Now watch. But someday those feet of brass will stand upon the earth. And the judge of all the earth he shall be, and with equity and perfection will he judge mankind. What? Through the bride. And there will be no evading that judgment. Listen, part of us being taken away, Brother John, is that we're not part of judgment yet. When we leave, our feet's in glory for 3.5 year wedding supper. While the wrath of God is poured out on the unbelievers. And why did he pour it out on them? Because we're gone. Hello? Come on, somebody. Because we're gone. The reason this world's not being destroyed right now is because of me and you. Because our brass walks on the earth. Our judgment walks on the earth. Because somebody else has got to be judged until the Gentile dispensation be over. Oh, we're looking for the last one. I'm looking for the last one that portrays every one of these seven. That's who I'm looking for. Because remember, the bride is the Son of Man in the end time. We're the fullness of every bit of this. We don't get a piece. We don't get a part. It's the fullness. And the judge of all the earth he shall be, and with equity and perfection will he judge mankind. And there will be no evading that judgment. No turning of that justice. There will be no tempering of it. He that is unjust will be unjust still. He that's filthy will be filthy still. The unchanging one will not change then. For he never has and he never will. Those feet of brass will crush the enemy. And listen, you got to have a feet of brass because we're going to crush the enemy here by the body change. They will destroy the Antichrist. Who's they? I thought it was him. He says they. They will destroy the Antichrist, the beast and the image and all this vile in his sight. He will destroy the church system that have taken his name only to corrupt its brilliance and crush them along with the Antichrist. All the wicked, the atheists, agnostic, modernistic, the liberals will all be there. Death, hell, and the grave will be there. Yes, they will, for when he comes, the books will be open. That is when even the lukewarm church and the five foolish virgins will appear. He will separate the sheep from the goats. When he comes, he will take over the kingdom, for it is his, and with him will be the thousands times 10,000s, his bride, who come to minister to him glory. Repent before it's too late. This voice is the sound of many waters. We go back to Revelation 10, in the days of the voice. Everyone had a voice. This voice is the sound of many waters. Now, what do the waters represent? The waters which thou sawest, Revelation 17, are people and multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it's a group of bride, the bride. His voice was as a sound of multitudes speaking. What is it? It is the judgment. For these are the voices of the multitude of witnesses. Now, not witnesses there. Witnesses here. Who by the Holy Spirit, look, all through the ages have testified to Christ and preached his gospel. It will be the voice of every man rising in judgment against the sinner who would not take warning. The voices of the seven messengers will be heard loud and clear. Those faithful preachers who preach the saving power of Jesus, who preach water baptism in Jesus' name, who preach the infilling and power of the Holy Ghost, who stood with the word more than they stood with their own lives, all of them were the voice of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost down through the ages. Revelation chapter 4. All right, here's the voice. How we need in Jeffersonville, thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness, purity, undefiled lives, walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Yes, sir, real Christians, that's the thunder against the enemy. The devil don't care how loud you can holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump or how much you can do this or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see that sanctified. Now, wait a minute. That sanctified holy life, when we get a glorified body, man, that ain't it. Here. In between those outstretched hands, the Alpha and Omega, that's where we get perfected. You don't get perfected here. You're not going to be perfected there. You got to get it here.
Right.
What? Through thousands of voices speaking, thundering out. Everybody wants to know what thunder is. That's what a thunder is. It's a lived life. Holy life, consecrated to God. Say anything to him, call him anything, just as sweet as can be, and move right on. Oh, my. That throws him away, and that's the thunder that shakes the devil. Rapture message, 1965. Now, the first thing is the sounding. The first thing is a trumpet, or a voice, a shout, then a voice, then a trumpet. A shout is a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, a loud voice in St. John 11:38, that called Lazarus from the grave. Now look, getting the bride together through the voice, the two-edged sword. And then the resurrection of the dead, see? To be caught up with it. Now watch. And he had in his hand, right hand, seven stars. This is what got me the other day. I was thinking, Lord, you know, you've got all these things set up, but you put them people in your hand. You didn't let an angel do it. You did it yourself. You have them in your hand. And if you got them in your hand, there's no way you can make a mistake. He picked those church age messengers by the characteristics of the age and the person that fit it. In his right hand were seven stars. He had in his right hand seven stars. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 that who the seven stars are. The mystery of the seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. Now, we couldn't make a mistake here on any account as he interprets it for us. Like I said before, God, Jesus is standing there. His hand is outstretched. Seven stars are in his hand. They're connected. Can't make a mistake when God's got you in his hand. These seven stars are the messengers to the seven successive church ages. They are not called by name. They are just set forth as seven, one to each age, from the Ephesian age on down to this Laodicean age. Each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep it, the word of God, to that particular church age. Each one held it. They were steadfast in their loyalty to the original light, the white light, through the prism. They were steadfast in their own loyalty to the original light. As each age pulled away from God, though, his faithful messenger turned that age back to the word. Their strength was from the Lord, or they never could have stemmed the tide. They were safe in his care, for nothing could pluck them out of his hands. In other words, he had a messenger sitting here named Paul. He had a guy waiting in the wings called Irenaeus. Another one, Martin, Columba. He had them waiting and ready to go in his mind. Then when they got the Holy Ghost, he just gave them what they needed. Nothing could pluck them out of his hand. Patmos vision. And this comfort is not for the seven church age messengers only. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all. Y'all are included in this. And this comfort is not for the seven church age messengers only. Every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and power and receive the full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and care to all members of his body. That includes you. Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." So we see the seven stars, but you're included in that. That's why it's important to have a messenger to each age, because that connects us to that star. Everybody with me? That star is the connection. Follow the star. You ought to write a song about that. "Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, we saw that more in this age than every other age ever saw. That was recorded. All right. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire." That's kind of familiar. Same guy. "And his head was many on his head were many crowns." What? You. You. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him." Who is that? Us. "Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations," or judge the nations, because he will rule them with a rod of iron. In the millennium, we know one thing's for sure. That's the son of David. He'll rule and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. Where's the queen? Where's the queen? Sitting right there beside him. "And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We know that's all capital letters. "But do you know that he is revealing the heart secrets of men and women in this age in which we are living?" Do you know that? I'm asking you that. Do you know that he is revealing, like I said before, whatever you got inside of you folks, it's going to come out. Hide it as long as you want to. It will show now in the end time. It has to. Because it's fullness. You can't hide from it. There's not a dark space over here. There's a question mark. No, it's all been full. So you're going to have to let out what you got inside of you. You may be like a pressure cooker. You'll have to let it off all at one time. Good or bad? Who else could reveal the secrets of the heart but the Word himself? Not a person. The Word does it. The Word right now today, we're thinking of judge. Every time a sermon comes, are you ready? You're judged. You either come in better or worse. Go out worse. Why? Because you've judged what you've, not maybe so much what you've done the week before, because we've all done stuff, but in the heart. The secrets of the heart, the inside of you. I'm living it, but I'm showing it outside, but I just really don't know about, you know, this long hair thing. I think I'll just trim it this way a little bit, or I think I'll, well, what hurts just a little bit of pain on the old barn, or whatever Daddy used to say, but it's same, still the same old barn. But, you know, no, you're dabbling around with the devil. The devil, not God, the devil. And remember, if you don't know it, the devil owns the fence you're sitting on. But who else could reveal the secrets of the heart but the Word himself? Hebrews 4:12, and he reads the same thing I did. It is the Word. It is performing where, look, unto it was sent. Listen, this message was, sure, it was broadcast over the world, but it wasn't sent to the world. It was sent to me and you. It was sent to his bride that would hear. It was sent, for it, the word, is full of power. It is the same spirit that was in Jesus, the word, that is present again in the church in this last age as a last sign, trying to head the people off from judgment. For they that reject him, the word, are now already coming to judgment. That's why you got the judge standing there in the seven church ages, crucifying him afresh. Number seven, and we'll be done right here. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. All right. Matthew 17, verse 1 says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. We see his characteristics on earth. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Exodus 34, 35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Wow. And he wasn't even born again. And he wasn't a church-age messenger either. He was a prophet. Oh, no doubt. He wrote, as Paul wrote most of the old New Testament, he wrote most of the new. I mean the old. But the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with God. In other words, the people couldn't even look at Moses' face. Right. Now let's take that times 10,000 times 10,000 with the fire of God inside of us, the bride. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Malachi 4, we're heading toward 5. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, the sun's not going to bother you. The fiery wrath of God will not bother you. Because if you'll realize what I'm telling you today, you are the fire of God. You are the eyes of God. You are the two-edged sword. You are all these characteristics that John saw, the Son of Man standing in the midst of the church ages. And he gives seven things that he saw. Seven. I don't know where they get that word from, that letter from. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Everybody starts as a calf. Right. Now listen to this. Prove my point, and then we'll close. Musicians, get ready to come. Revelation 21, getting toward the end of the Bible here. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. Now watch. Come hither, I will show thee the bride. So whatever's fixing to come into view right here, it has to do with the bride. Everybody with me? The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Who is that? The bride. Having the glory of God in her light. This city has turned into a her. Amen. And her light was likened to a stone most precious. Look, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Reflecting the light. Revelation 21, 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now remember this city. What kind of shape is this city in? A prism. A pyramid. So that it can reflect the light. Because watch. There's not even going to be a sun in the city. If there is a sun, it's going to be outside and we brighter than it. Because watch. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun. Praise God. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God. Now who is that? Who is God's glory? You and I are. We're the glory of God. But the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved. Now look, not filled with the Holy Ghost, but saved. Remember, nobody lives in that city I'm just talking about but the bride. The ones in the seven church ages that got the Holy Ghost down here before they died. That accepted the messenger for their age, got in the message of their hour, and was filled with the Holy Ghost are born again. Right? We live in the city. Billions upon billions will live outside the city. Foolish virgin. Cup of water, my name. Old Testament saints, a lot of them. Hello, somebody. Come on. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in that light. They'll say, how'd you get that light? Why are you glowing? Regina, why are you glowing and I'm not? I come into the city. I get to walk around. I get to look. But I got to leave. If I'm not bright, I got to leave. I got to go back out and get in this other light. S-U-N. You are the S-O-N. How are you glowing? And when we walk out of the city, that light goes with us. Because it's never going to be darkness. We'll finish right here. And the gate of it shall not be shut. Let's stand our feet. Come on. And the gate of it shall be shut, not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. We'll finish up right here and we'll start next Sunday. No, the next Sunday. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. John, I got this thing covered. But I'm going to do it through a bride. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You are the light. We'll walk in the light. What? The beautiful light. Where's it coming from? Inside of you. You don't need an external. We won't need light in the city. We will be the glow to that city. What's inside of you right now, folks? I'm telling you. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got something inside of you brighter than any sun that ever shined out there. You got something inside of you brighter than any flash of light, electricity, lightning, even an atomic explosion, atomic bomb, because there's a flash of light and it'll almost blind you. That ain't a drop in a bucket to what you got inside of you.
That's right.
So let's live it. Let's let it out. Let's let it show to the world. Hey, let's let it show to each other. Ye are the light of the world. And in you there is no darkness at all. The only thing we got to do is head toward a body change. Head toward that body change, because this is not light yet. This is what keeps us all together. This is what's keeping us here, actually, is our spirit and our body, right? Because our soul's already raptured, sitting in heavenly places. We just got to catch up. But let that light out. God bless you. Seven things that the world may read that and say, oh, that's Jesus over here, and he's just an angry old God. Angry old Jesus. Flame of fire and sword and feet of brass. No, it's you.
Right.
It's you. He's transferred that or amorphied every bit of that into you. Because when John turned to look, I'm sure John turned and thought he was going to see him. Because he knew the voice. And when I turned to see the voice, he saw seven golden candlesticks. John surely got a revelation, a little bit of a revelation, that this man that I talked to, several years ago on earth, called Jesus, he's a little different now. His eyes are a flame of fire. He's got the vesture up here. He's got all these things. And now he's telling me to take every bit of this, write it down, and give it to seven church ages. Seven men And Brother Branham identified all seven. We know who they are. But it wasn't just the messengers that God was holding in his hand. It was me and you. You become the message. You believe what the messenger brought, but you become the message by the word that's being preached for your hour. I believe that. Amen. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Amen. Let's sing every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Sing it to him.
All sing hallelujah to our God. Glory,
yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah is to our God. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Oh God, my Savior. To our God, every word of worship in one accord, every praise, yes, it's to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory, hallelujah, is to our God, every praise. Every praise is his to our God. Oh God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior, God, my healer, deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise, oh, is to our God.
You know, if I'm praying for you,
God,
you might get worse.
My healer, God,
I need to explain why.
My deliverer.
Thing leaves the,
yes,
the demon leaves the body, and there's that thing,
yes,
still there, the flesh
is.
Part, this growth or whatever it is.
God,
you might get
my
sick.
Savior,
he said, but hang on.
God, my
he said, don't
healer,
let the devil back in. So put
God,
that with any situation you got.
Deliverer.
Oh, I'm going up for prayer and I ask just
yes,
going to be peaches
is.
And cream. No,
yes,
it's going to be fire and brimstone.
Because
the devil hates us. And he hates to let go.
God.
But you know what? You just hang on.
Every word
if the people can't hang on, you pray for it, you hang on for
every praise.
Sister Barbara's hung on. And man, I'm
every
telling you, it was a mountain, but it's just now a little bit hill now. And we're praying that valley is going
to
come.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Just let your body work.
Every praise.
Don't look at
circumstances.
Every praise.
Look at the promise.
Our God.
Go through these trials. That's okay.
Oh God, my
Savior. Oh, my son, he's gone. No, he's not.
God, my
daughter, he's healer. No, they're not. As long as they got breath in their
God,
body,
my
you keep praying
deliverer.
For them. You keep praying for
yes,
people.
He is.
Quit looking
yes,
at the circumstances.
Is.
We'll all lose if
God,
we look at every circumstance that we see with our natural eyes. We'll
God,
lose every time. But that's where the devil is. He's in there.
God, my
God's not. He said, you hang on.
Yes, he is.
Hey,
yes,
if it's a thread, hold on to it.
Every
because if it's a God thread,
God.
It won't break.
Every
if it's a God thread, it'll never break. You say, oh, it's so thin. If it's a God thread, it'll hold you up. He's just waiting on you to claim it and hang on to it. That's the victory.
God.
The victory is the, you got to go through the battle.
Sing hallelujah.
Come out on the other side and say, oh,
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for it.
God.
Oh, he got you over in
yes,
a hole somewhere,
is.
In a corner, backed up.
Yes, he is.
That's when you stand and say, God,
God
you are my healer.
My
God, you promised me this is what I have.
God,
you said we
deliverer.
Are going to be victorious through you.
God, my
so God,
deliverer.
Come on the scene and help me, Lord.
Yes, he is.
Just help me, Lord.
Yes,
and you'll
he
get through
is.
It. I promise you. I promise you. Praise him in the storm. How many of us can do that? How many of us can do that? When you can't even lift your hands, your arms hurting so bad, there's a victory.
Yes, praise the Lord.
There's victory.
Hallelujah.
When all the sisters come, let's pray with Mom. She needs some strength. She needs some stability. We're all going through a lot, but you know what? God's a healer. God knows what he's doing. We just got to get out of the way and let him do it. Just get out of the way and let him do it. All right? Just get out of the way. Let him do it. Just give it to God. Just give it to God. Come on around over here if you want to. Come up to toward the front. Brother Branham said, he said, a sister praying for a sister would be better, in other words, than a brother praying for a sister, because we can't enter into what they're going through. We can't enter into that, but they can. Because, you know what? I'm sorry, but they're wired a little different than we are. Emotion and things like that, it clouds our, sometimes our judgment. It clouds us up a little bit. But deny that. If it's bad, pray for it's good. If it's bad, praise him for it's good. So let's bow our heads and pray. And you pray earnest that God will move on this situation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we spoke your word today, Father. Now I pray that you'll come and without anointing, you'll transfer it over into the prayer part of the service, Lord, and anoint us all, Lord, the whole building, Lord, as we speak the word out of our mouth, Lord. May it come as that two-edged sword. May the eyes of fire come through, Lord, and show the devil who's the boss. It's not us and our humanity, but it's you, God, that have come into this bride in the end time, in the fullness, that you can look through our eyes, that you can speak through our lips, that you can hear through our ears, that when our hands move, your hands move. Lord, I pray that you'll move on this situation, Father, and that you'll bless each one that's up here. I know all the sisters are here now. I pray, Lord, that anything going on in their life, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, and raise them up. For your honor and glory, this is all being done. Lord, we're all feminine in the body. We all got things in the body of Christ that we have to go through. But Lord, today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just anoint these sisters, Lord. Anoint the brothers, Lord, to pray the prayer of faith. And that the right word to be said, as Hattie Wright said, the right thing. She said, that ain't nothing but the truth. So, Lord, may we say, what you've said today ain't nothing but the truth. Because you said it about your bride. You said it about the lovely one, the one that you're going to be with for an eternity. Father, you're waiting on that time for us to come to that. And Lord, between then and now, Lord, we still got battles. We still got mountains. But you told us to believe. And Lord, even when one grain of sand trickles off of that mountain, Father, that's you moving. And Lord, I pray that you would move on every situation here, Lord. And that by your grace that we'll learn to handle these situations. And Lord, come out on the other side with our hands lifted up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've let me go through this, but you brought me through the other side.
Lord, please come.
Lord, there's a victory through you in every battle. Through you, there's a victory if we'll just take that part that you said. By your stripes we're healed. Everything that we have need of, Brother Brown said it was in the atonement. Everything was in the atonement. And Lord, we plead that blood. That atonement, Lord, and we're doing that now as the bride of Jesus Christ, because you told us through a prophet that we are the blood by the Spirit of God. So, Lord, there had to be someone lay a hand on her or something like that. That's okay. But, Father, we need to believe as Gentiles and not even have our hands laid on each other. But, Father, as a connection, Lord, we pray that you would touch our sisters, Lord, as they lay their hands on each other and on Sister Dale, Lord, that you would strengthen each one of them, Father. And give them something, Lord, from you. Father, we pray, Lord, in the stillness of the night, you'd come to us and say, what? All is well. All is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. You spoke to us through a prophet and told us we could do this. So by the power of the word of God in this bride in the end time, we rebuke the devil for any situation that's going on, Lord. We pray that you'd touch each one, Father. And Lord, may we realize it's you the whole time. Father, it's you. But you said you would be with us and even in us. So the continuation of your work comes right on into the bride. And Lord, I pray that we'll realize who we are and what we're doing here. We'll realize that we're not a second person of a Trinity. We'll realize that we're you made manifest in another form called a bride on the earth. That gives us power as you had power. Romans 8 says the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. It'll quicken your mortal body. So, Lord, that same Spirit, if we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul, that same Spirit dwells inside of us, Lord. And it'll raise us up not only physically, but, Lord, it'll raise us up spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that spiritually we'll all be raised up today. That we'll all actually come up a little bit higher. He says, come up. Come up hither. Let me show you things to come. Father, we've done that as a bride. I pray now that you just bless us as a church, Father, as a family, that you'll be with us now in the furtherment of this time that we have here on earth, Father. I pray that you bless and be with us. Be with the Roberts family there in Tennessee, Father, and Sister Nicole and the kids, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to them too while we're praying, Father. That would be something that would be... It would be hard as a human to take, but Lord, you know all things, and you have all things in your hands. Father, I pray now that you would bless each one. Truly, give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. And what is the kingdom of God? The baptism of the Holy Ghost in a group of believers. And Lord, we can even by eyes of faith see, as John saw, that city so illuminated till thousands and thousands of miles away it can be seen. And it's your bride. We pray, Lord, now that you minister to us, Lord. Take care of every situation that we're praying for, Lord.
We ask for strength and stability in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we sing? Let's sing the We Have Heard Him at All Is Well. Thank you, Lord.
All is well.
Sing it to Him.
All is well. We have heard
this message.
Shalom. And all is well.
What is it?
That there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Sing it to him again.
God's already done. Believe what He's already done. He said, I don't see anything. Did He ask you to see it? He asked you to believe it. He didn't ask Abraham, you see that baby? No, but Abraham, you believe what I said? Yes, sir, I believe what you said. And then in Abraham started seeing the baby. God already knew it was coming. Why, He's God. But He wanted Abraham to get in a place to where Abraham, Brother Abraham said, go get the Buddha and get the pins and the diapers and get all that ready and let's go to Walmart. We're having a baby. That didn't bother him any. Circumstances didn't bother. That's why Abraham listened. Abraham did a lot of bad things. But he was the father of our faith. Because he kept going. He kept going. He kept going. He kept persevering until one day what happened? He met God in human flesh. I guarantee you today, folks, if we meet God in human flesh in this hour, it's the Son of Man. And it's in a group of people. It's not one man. It's not a one man message anymore. This is a collective body. Fingers, hands, toes, arms, torso, everything. Everybody with me? Not a one man. We ain't got to go migrate to some place to hear one person and one person only. Right? We listen to what the Spirit says. We'll read it. To what? To the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Brother Ben, God bless you, buddy. Good for coming. Come back and visit us sometime, okay? Your door's open for you, okay? You love the Lord? He's good to us, isn't He? All is well. Even in the storm, all is well. Everything's fine. Why? We've been taught. We've been taught. We've been taught by Brother Branham. We've been taught by great teachers up until this point. We've been taught. So, we should just know how to handle things. Sorry, we should. If we can't judge, remember, if we can't judge here, we can't judge there. That's why when we take communion, it says when you judge yourself. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Do y'all remember what that says? If you're judged here, you won't be judged there. Our judgment comes right here. That's why we can stand in that symbolism of just like the Son of Man, because we take our judgment down here. They'll see Him. Remember, every eye will see Him. That won't be us. That'll be the ones that's turned Him down. They'll see Him. And they'll see Him in judgment. And they'll know that God came in human flesh, but came in yours. He came in Martin Luther. He came in John Wesley and all the different ones and all the ones enduring that age.
It's not just Martin Luther. It's millions of people came out under his message, like Brother Branham. Millions of people came out under his message. Let's sing this one more time before we go. All is well.
So rest, little bride.